There have been a couple times in my, many times in my life, when I have been amazed because the song on the radio so directly speaks into my life. Like the artist had crawled into my soul and written it down in a song exactly when I needed to hear it. And I'm thinking about, and I spend a couple seconds imagining, I wonder if the Truman Show could really happen in real life. And after that, I just ponder again how great this coincidence is. I'm thinking about those late night drives with my best friend in college when Beyonce sang To Our Broken Hearts. I'm thinking about Bono and the rest of the band that seemed like my sole companions at times when I fought my way through the world just trying to figure out what I was looking for. Trace Adkins has a way of always speaking to my heart and reminding me that, yes, even this season, I am going to miss this. And when Derek and I pulled out of the driveway, our first driveway of our first home together in North Carolina, when we moved from North Carolina to Michigan and James Taylor's Carolina on My Mind came on the radio, I bawled like a baby. I still tear up when I hear that song. Now, of course, these are all just coincidences, right? I'm sure you psych majors could analyze this for me and tell me something about what's going on in my soul at that moment. But those are just coincidences, right? Sometimes when I read scripture, I am amazed that it so perfectly speaks into our life, our situation today. Now, I know I shouldn't be, right? It's scripture. We as Christians believe that the Bible is really important, really important. In fact, we believe that God uses this book in special ways, that it's got authority in our lives that all the other books in the world don't have. It's God's word written to us. And if I believe that God is real, of course God is going to use this book to speak to me, to us, right? Duh, Lauren, be a pastor. But still, when I consider what the Bible is, this ancient document, letters written thousands of years ago, like Plato's Republic or Homer's Odyssey, that it's twice as old as Shakespeare. And when I think about how difficult it is for me to understand those pieces of literature and connect them to my life, that's when I'm amazed that scripture sometimes speaks so directly into my life. So this is the thought. As I've studied Galatians this semester, this is the thought that's been ringing in my ears. And as we wrap up Galatians tonight, as we finish our study of Galatians, I thought it would be worthwhile to review it in my own words. And just consider as you listen to this, if you feel the same way that I do. Dear friends, the letter begins, I am astonished that you are forgetting the basics of the gospel. You're making the gospel into something that it's not, and that's wrong. There is no other gospel other than Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be saved except trusting in Jesus. There's no litmus test, there's no rule, there's no law, it's just Jesus. Are you changing salvation to make it about yourself? Are you changing salvation to please other people? If you're changing the gospel to try to please others, you are not being a Christian. Friends, I want you to know. And here Paul begins to share some of his testimony. He says this, I want you to know this gospel doesn't have a human origin. No one made this stuff up. This is the truth from God. Look, I was a Jew who was persecuting Christians. I was really high up in that world too. I had a lot of power and authority. But when God revealed the gospel to me, I left it all. I left everything. And I spent time learning from other Christians for many, many years. And every church that I stayed with was amazed. They had, of course, heard that I was persecuting and killing Christians. They probably feared for their lives because of me. But now they glorified God because I was a Christian myself. So after 14 years of learning from all of these churches and all of these different Christians, I started to feel like God was calling me to take up ministry myself. So I went to Jerusalem with some friends, and we met important Christian leaders there. You'll remember James and Peter and John. Now, we knew that they were doing good work for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus was the Messiah and that the Jews were waiting for. And they were sharing this good news to a particular group of people, and it was spreading quickly amongst this particular group of people. Praise God. But we felt God calling us to share this good news of Jesus with some other people, with non-Jews, with the Gentiles. And so we talked with James and with Peter and with John, and we told them this. We made sure that the gospel we wanted to share was the true gospel, that we weren't missing anything or changing anything, that we were all on the same page. We wanted to make this important decision with other Christians in community. And so we checked our gospel with him, that Jesus lived and that Jesus died and that Jesus was raised to life, and whoever trusts this is saved. And that's it. That's the most important, most simple definition of what the gospel is. It's free. Whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, whether you are circumcised or uncircumcised, whether you are male or female, slave or free, whether you're high up with a lot of power and authority or you're the lowest on the totem pole, the gospel is the same for all of us. And James and Peter and John, they agreed with us on this. And so they extended the right hand of fellowship to us. They blessed our ministry, and they just asked that we would remember the poor, which we were eager to do anyways. But, Paul writes, when I saw Peter a while later, I called him out because some had started twisting the gospel and saying that only this one particular group of people could be Christians, only those who were circumcised Jews could be Christians. And Peter himself started to believe it. And he started hanging out only with that particular group of people, with those who were circumcised. So he was being a hypocrite, telling me the gospel was for everyone, but then acting like it was only the circumcised who followed the Jewish rules that could be saved. He was saying one thing about the gospel and living something totally different. Friends, Paul writes, we are not saved by what we do. We are not saved by what group we belong to. It's not about us. So stop drawing these lines in the sand. We are saved by Jesus and what Jesus does. It is all about him. And so no, it's no longer about me. It's not I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. This is what salvation is. And anyone who believes this is saved into the same big family of God. So live by this gospel truth, Jesus loving spirit then, Paul encourages the Galatians. By the spirit of Christ that is in you, by the Spirit of God. Don't live by your own spirit, by your own desires, or the desires of others. When you live by human desires, you get trapped in all sorts of bad things, unhealthy relationships, divisions in our community, impurity, anger, and drunkenness, friendships splitting up, pride and thinking that you're better than others. A church that spends more time indulging in themselves and fighting within itself is a church that's living by the flesh. It's not a church that's living by the Spirit. If these things are happening, check yourself. You are living too much by human desire. Instead, let me paint a better picture. Instead, live by the Spirit. If you trust Jesus, then cultivate Jesus in your life. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life. If you do this, your life is going to show it. Your life will show love, and your life will show joy, and your life will show peace. Your life will demonstrate patience and kindness and generosity with others. People will see your faithfulness, your gentleness, and self-control in you. These are the fruits that show up in your life, in our life, when we're centered in Christ. So stop competing with one another. Stop dividing yourself all over the place. Stop thinking that you're in charge of your own salvation, and instead, center yourself in Christ. Let Christ take root in your life, and then that will bear fruit. So what does this look like lived out in the church? Paul goes on in the last chapter. I'll tell you, he says. If one of you has done something wrong, call that person out and restore that person back to the community with gentleness. When one of you is burdened, help each other out with love and with generosity. Don't be prideful. Don't think you're better than other Christians, that your work is better than their work. Be humble. And he ends by saying this, let me be clear. In fact, I'm going to write this in size 24 font. If you're living by human desires, if you're living by your human spirit, there will be consequences. It'll catch up with us. But if we cultivate the Holy Spirit in our lives, if we invest in our relationship with God and center ourselves on the basics of the gospel, the Holy Spirit will produce good fruit in our community. Let me be doubly clear. I'll write this even bigger. Whenever we have the chance, let's do good to one another. Let's do what's right, especially with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And let's keep the gospel clear. We are saved through Jesus, not through what group you're part of, not through the rules, not because you're on side A or side B. But when we believe this gospel, like really trust it, it's reflected in our life as individuals and as the church. So let's reflect this Jesus together. In peace, Paul. Galatians is such a rich letter. There's so much to unpack. You may have heard something in it that stands out to you. I know I did. And so as we wrap up Galatians tonight, I just want to point out two of those things now. First, you never earn God's love. You never earn God's love. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. There's no part of that verse in front that says, if you do X, Y, and Z, then God will love the world and send his son. It just is simple and straightforward. God loved the world. He just does. There's nothing we can do to earn that love. This is part of who God is. And so to misunderstand that is to misunderstand God. This is why Paul was so upset with the Galatian churches. They were starting to think that you had to be Jewish and had to be circumcised to be saved, but you don't. You don't have to be a part of a particular group to be saved. Grace is free. God's love is unconditional. Salvation is for anyone. This is part of who God is. And so to misunderstand that is to misunderstand God. And second, believing the gospel, trusting this free grace, this is not just about getting your ticket punched for heaven. The gospel actually changes things now. This is why Paul follows talk about this free gospel with fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Now, a note about this transformation, all these fruits of the Spirit that come. Paul isn't telling the Galatians to try really hard to be these things and then you'll be a Christian, right? Paul is saying that when you are a Christian, when you live into this new reality that Jesus gives us, these things come from your life. And they don't come just once, but they're fruit. They grow again and again and again, new season after new season, as we follow Jesus step after new step. The fruit of the Spirit are the byproducts of following Jesus. And so I love how Paul concludes his letter. He breaks it down and brings it home and gives us the chance to imagine what this looks like with our real practical life. He says this, "So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we don't give up. So then, whenever you have the opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially those in the family of faith." He says that when we take hold of this free gift of God in Christ and we let the Holy Spirit work these fruits in our life, we ought to find our divisions melting away. We ought to find our community strengthened. And he really emphasizes that we should be doing good to our brothers and sisters in Christ and gives us specific ways that the fruit of the Spirit should be helping us out in this. So the question tonight, the question is not about how do we work harder to be more loving and joyful and peaceful. The question is not how do we work harder to be unified. The question is, are we going to live into this salvation truth or not? Christ has done it. The Holy Spirit produces these things, love and joy and peace. Jesus disintegrates the dividing walls of hostility, Ephesians said. The question is, are we going to live into the reality of Christ or not? Are we going to be Christians or not? The gospel is free. The gospel changes us. The gospel produces fruits of the Spirit and brings us unity even in diversity. So believe this gospel. Trust this gospel. Even if you already do, do it again. Commit to it again. Let this be the thought that guides us as we come to the table this evening. Let's pray. God, I am so grateful that you don't need us, but you don't will to be God without us. God, thank you for reaching down into this human world and saving us and loving us. God, we ask that you would bless the church that's here tonight. God, draw them to yourself. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, that this campus would be a place that lives fruits of the Spirit in unity with one another as a foretaste of what's to come with your kingdom. We pray this all in your name. Amen.